world. If we were not still carnal in the flesh after we are saved, if we weren't still carnal, then there wouldn't be any need for what I'm about to present. But we are still carnal in the flesh. You see, the devil is very much alive, and he really is a spirit, and he really does have tremendous power. And he works through our flesh. The Bible is taught by many to teach that the earth is about 6,000 years old. I can understand why they teach it, but it's just not true. You say, well, Brother McNamara, you don't know that. Well, I don't know that, but I strongly suspect it, and I'm going to show you why. A lot of our young students in colleges come out of Missionary Baptist churches. And about all they ever get at church is 3 points, a poem, a cloud of dust, and hi-ho silver away. And then they have different types of programs where they get together, and it's very enjoyable for young people, and that's fine. But in order to withstand the onslaught of present-day teaching about the creation of man and about the age of the earth, our young people need something. And they need the Bible. And you need something. Because you're going to see more and more and more and more evidence, time and time again, that the earth is a very old planet, and that man, the creation of man, many things that we teach about it are based on teachings from the Church of England, and particularly a man named Bishop Usher. And our young people, when they go to college, just aren't ready for this. And a lot of our young people who are in high school, they're not ready for it either. Now, every Sunday morning, Lord willing, for the next several Sundays until I finish, I'm going to show you exactly what I believe the Bible teaches about creation, what it teaches about the earth, and a multiplicity of other things. I'm going to cover cloning. I'm going to cover DNA. I'm going to show you what happened from the original creation until the present time, according to the Scriptures. Now, this first time, I'm not going to show you everything. I'm going to show you it bit by bit, piece by piece, and give you a composite picture of what happened and show you how it matches what science teaches concerning the age of the earth. But it does not agree with what he teaches about, what science teaches about the creation of man. But I'm going to show you why it doesn't. And I'm going to show you why the Bible is right. And I think this will be very valuable to you as you face the temptations that want to make you doubt there's a God every day of your life. We're going to be talking about, for the next several Sundays, Lord willing, during Sunday school, how and when did God do this and that? How and when did God do this and that? How old is the earth? How long has man been on the earth? Can humans be duplicated by manipulation of DNA through the stem cells? I'm going to answer those questions and a lot of others. How old is the earth? How long has man been on the earth? Can humans be duplicated by manipulation of DNA through the stem cells? Is that possible? Can it be done? And has it been done, or will it be done? I'll answer those questions. So first of all, let's take a look and answer this question. When and how did God do this? When and how did God do this? How did he do this in Genesis 1:1? When and how did he do it? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. This is just a preliminary to what I'm going to be teaching, Lord willing, every Sunday during Sunday school. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. When and how did God do this? We're going to deal with the question. I'm going to show you what I believe and why. We don't know. Now, that's not the answer that I'm going to show you. I'm going to give you some approximations. I'm going to show you that it's not 6,000 years old, that it's a lot older. But we don't know the precise time that God created it. But I'm going to be dealing with a time frame to say it's between here and here, but we don't know exactly where. But the answer to the question, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, we don't know. You can't tell from the Bible. Now many people say, well, you certainly can because God inspired it. Well, I'm going to show you some things about that that does not conflict with the Word of God, that does not violate the Word of God, and does not violate the language in which it is written, to clearly prove to you we don't know exactly when God did create it, but we know it's a long time. Now let's take a look at when and how did God do this. We're going to be dealing with this. When and how did God do this? Genesis 1 and 2. And the earth was without form and void. Is that the way God created it? I don't think so. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1:1. In Genesis 1:2, I don't think this is the way God created the earth, and I'm going to show you why. And the earth was without form. The word form is tohu. The word void is bohu. It means God created into a chaotic, unbelievably horrible, confused state. And I don't believe God did that. I believe he created the heaven and the earth. But when and how did God do this? Genesis 1:2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That's all there was, water. Was, and the earth was without form, may be translated became. And we're going to discuss why it has to be translated became. Now, God created the heaven and the earth in Genesis 1:1, and it became without form and void. It was not created like that originally. And we'll be dealing with that, and I'll be showing it, prove it to you in scriptures, and using the inspired language of the Bible. So when did this happen? When did it become form, without form and void? We don't know. But we know it was a long time ago, and I'm going to show you some approximations, and I'm going to use the Bible, and I'm not going to conflict with the Bible. I'm going to use the Bible language, the language in which it was written. Genesis 1:3. When and how did God do this? Genesis 1:3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. When did that happen? We don't know precisely, but it was a long time ago. And I'm going to show you it was further back than 6,000 years. And I'll be proving that with the biblical language as we go along. We think we can tell when all this happened. We think we can tell when God created the heaven and the earth. We think we can tell when it was without form and void. We think we can tell when God said, let there be light. We think we can tell when this happened from the Bible by adding up the dates from the generation since Adam. That's what we think. That's what Bishop Usher thought in about 1633. But the question I ask you, did God intend for us to do that, and can we? We think we can tell when from the Bible by adding up the dates from the generation since Adam. But can we? Now, I promise you, I'm not going to violate the language of the Bible. And I'm not going to tell you this is an old antiquated book. The Bible is the inspired word of God, and it contains no error. And this is a translation of the inspired writings of Almighty God. So I'm going to stick with the Bible language. I'm not going to twist it or corrupt it. I'm going to show you everything that I did and everything I do and everything I believe about it. And I'm also going to show you about cloning and about DNA and about some modern day things. You'll find it very interesting. Well, when did God do this? This next thing. When did God do this? Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Bishop Usher believed this happened about 4004 B.C. About 4004 B.C., 4004 years before the birth of Christ, Bishop Usher decided that's when God created man. That's how old the earth is. We believe Bishop Usher unveiled the truth in 1633 from Genesis chapter 5. But did he? We believe Bishop Usher unveiled the truth in 1633 from Genesis 5, but did he? Now remember the King James translation, the first one, was in 1611. Now when I say he unveiled the truth in 1633, that would of course have been 22 years later. Now, my memory is bad, and when I made this up yesterday for the cover sheet on this, I was tired and wore out, and so that's either 1623 or 1633, but I didn't go back and look it up because 10 years is not going to make that much difference. And the important thing, I just wanted people to know that it was after the King James translation was put out that Bishop Usher, and incidentally, he certainly was not a Baptist. He believed you could lose your salvation. He believed a lot of different things. Can we be sure from Bishop Usher's 1633 interpretation as to when God created Adam? Can we be sure from Bishop Usher's 1633 interpretation as to when God created Adam? Genesis 5, 3 through 10. And then 30 and 32. Actually, it goes all the way from Genesis 5, verse 3 through 32. But it just keeps saying the same thing over and over again. And so I'm going to show you how he did it and how he made his assumption. And his assumption is incorrect. Genesis 5, 3 through 10. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. So Adam would be A and Seth would be B. A and B. And the days of Adam, A, after he begat Seth, B, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Now we start the same formula over again. And Seth now becomes A, and Seth, A, lived 105 years and begat Enos, and Enos now becomes B. I'm going to show you the formula in a moment, how Bishop Usher did this. Verse 7. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. Verse 8. And all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. Now that same thing, A and B, goes all the way through to the very end of this chapter, which concludes with verse 32. But what I want to do is simply show you the end of the chapter, because it's nothing but names repeated over and over again and the same formula of A and B. We're going to look at Genesis 30 through 32. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah. Now we're always down to the day of Noah. This is verse 30, so we've left a bunch out. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. So Noah becomes A. And all the days of Lamech, who is B, were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, Bishop Usher got the brilliant idea of going back and adding these up. And I admit, on the surface, it doesn't seem half bad. But we cannot be sure that God intended us to use Genesis chapter 5, which I've just covered, to date the earth or the time Adam's descendants have been on it. We cannot be sure that God intended us to use Genesis 5 to date the earth or the time Adam's descendants have been on it. We can't be sure. Could Bishop Usher be right? I don't think there's a chance. But there are a lot of missionary Baptist preachers that would want to debate me and have a violent argument about it, because they just don't want to admit that Bishop Usher was wrong. The age, well, that's not the only reason. They're really convicted about it, and I don't bear them any ill. I don't have any problem with them. They have a problem with me, but I don't have any problem with them, because they believe God created the heaven and the earth, and so do I. And I believe that he made it, and that God is the creator. And I don't believe in the evolutionary type thing of God using that to bring forth man. I think he created Adam in a single day. Now, what's the problem with this A and B thing? The age of mankind cannot be reckoned in years from the facts listed in genealogies. Why? For there are known intentional gaps in them. For example, as B.B. Warfield in his Studies in Theology points out, the genealogy in Matthew 1, 1 through 17, amidst the three kings, Ahaziah, Jehosh, and Amaziah, and indicates, oh, I'm having trouble with names this morning, didn't get my coffee, and indicates that Joram, in Matthew 1 and 8, begat Uzziah, who was his great-great-great-grandson. Well, why would it say that Joram, in Matthew 1 and 8, begat Uzziah, when Uzziah was his great-great-grandson? Why is Jesus called the son of David? Think how many generations passed between David and Jesus. You see, in the Bible, the word that is used for son is ben. And it can mean the man's son, his grandson, his great-grandson, his great-great-great-grandson, his great-great-great-grandson, great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson. So you cannot legitimately add those dates up. The word for son and daughter and begat has a very wide latitude of meanings. Now, the mistake of using compressed genealogies as the basis of biblical dating has been very misleading. It is highly improbable that the genealogical framework of the fifth chapter of Genesis was intended to be used or can be used for calculating the age of man on the earth. I'm using inspired, God-breathed words, and I'm showing you how they're used in the Bible. And they're used frequently to refer to some descendant way on down the line as the son of so-and-so, because the Hebrew word ben is used for son, grandson, great-grandson, great-great-grandson, great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson, and on and on and on. Now, why is all this important? Because if a man can be cloned, then the question is, did man evolve, and did all these things that are in us actually evolve over a long period of time? And it's just another type of illegitimate proof that they use to prove that we're descended from animals and we're not made by God. Now, the Hebrew terms begat, son, daughter are used with great latitude and may involve a distant as well as an immediate descendant. In the recurring formula, A lived blank years and begat B, and A lived after he begat B blank years and begat sons and daughters, B may not be the literal son of A. So the age of A is his age when he was born from whom B was descended. That's why I kept showing you when I went through the scripture, A and B. So an indefinite time interval may therefore be intended between A and B. I am convinced God made Adam long before 4000 B.C. Now, we're going to spend a lot of time on this. And we're going to be talking about the age of the earth, but we're definitely going to be getting down to cloning. We're going to bring it down to modern day events. The Hebrew word tohu. We're going to take a look at the Hebrew word tohu. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Period. I'm convinced a very long period of time passed between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. I'm convinced the original creation God made. I do not believe it had any imperfection. I do not believe it had anything on it that was imperfect in any way being made by God. I believe between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, Satan, who was created perfect by God, made his own choice and of his own will and volition decided he wanted to be like God. And I'm going to be proving this from Scripture before I'm finished. So I'm stating that in advance, but before I'm finished with this discourse, several weeks, I'll prove it to you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I firmly believe that. He did. He didn't create it like it is today. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. It was just covered with water. And the earth was. Was is Hayah or Hayitha. What does this word earth was without form, what does was mean? It means to exist. It existed. In explanation, to be or to become, to come to pass, and is frequently translated as to become or became. I contend this should be translated, and the earth became without form, and I'll show you why. We're talking about the King James translation. We're not talking about, what it came from, what it was translated from. And the word that was translated, Hayah, was translated as was, and I contend it should be translated became, and as the weeks progress, you'll see exactly why I believe that. So was, Hayah, can be translated as became, and the earth became without form. It wasn't created that way. Without form is tohu. It means a chaotic, desolate maze of absolute confusion, just a huge boiling pot of all sorts of unbelievable things. I don't question it became that. It did. But it wasn't created that way. The evidence is it definitely became that way. But the evidence also indicates it wasn't made that way. Now in Isaiah 45:18, I'm going to show you why I believe this word tohu For without form, translated without form is tohu. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens. We're definitely talking about the creation of the original earth, Isaiah 45:18. God himself that formed the earth and made it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He has established it. He created it not in vain. Now, there's a very definite statement. It says, God created it not in vain. God did not create it in vain. It says so. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else. Isaiah says God didn't create it in vain. Now, see that word without form? See this right down here in Isaiah 45:18 and Isaiah 1:2, it's, and the earth was without form. Without form is tohu. See this in vain? That's the same identical God-breathed, inspired word. In vain is also tohu. So you've got a contradiction here. But there is no contradiction. Because the word was should have been translated became. The earth was not created a chaotic, confused mess, tohu. It was not created in vain. It was created perfect. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, Satan committed a sin. He tried to create life. And that's what cloning is all about. And I'm going to be coordinating and actually laying alongside, correlating these different things together to show you that there is a pattern for this desire of Satan to create life that has always existed. It was his original sin. Isaiah says that God did not create the earth tohu. Therefore, we must let the word hayah or hayitha in Genesis 1:2 be translated became. If we let it stand as was, then it is saying that God did create the earth tohu. If we translate it became, then the original creation by God was not tohu. It became tohu at a later time. We're going to be talking about that later time. Now, during these next several Sundays, we're going to be going all the way from the original earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Then we're going to be going to a ruined earth, phases of the earth. And then we're going to be going to a reshaped earth, which were the 7 days in which God straightened out the mess that Satan had made, did away of all the pre-Adamic creations, where Satan manipulated the DNA of the different types of creatures that God had originally made, mostly simple, uncomplicated one-cell life forms in the original creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He created it perfect. Satan's sin was to create life. Before I'm finished, I'll take the scripture and prove that. Because of Satan's sin, the creation fell. And then God began to reshape or reform or refurbish the earth in seven literal days. And on the seventh day, he rested. On the sixth day, he made man out of the dust of the earth. We're going to be looking at some times on this before I'm finished. And I'm going to show you how these times do not conflict with the Bible. But then along came the descendants of Adam. And after Adam's fall, they got worse and worse and worse. Because of this, God cursed the reshaped earth, and the flood occurred. We're going to talk about, is this a universal flood, or was it merely a flood that flooded the land of the Adamos? We're going to talk about that. After the flood, we have the present-day earth. Very shortly, we're going to have a tribulation earth. We're going to have a time when the earth is shaken to its very foundations. How much will it be shaken? See this ruined earth back here? I don't know if it'll be shaken that much, but it's surely going to be shaken according to the scriptures, and we'll talk about that. That's to be followed by a millennial earth of 1,000 years, which is then supposed to be destroyed by fire. And then God creates a new heaven and a new earth, and this is the final new heaven and new earth. But believe it or not, we're going to go through all of that. Now, first of all, let's talk about the fall of Satan. I would like to get that in before I finish this session. The fall of Satan and one-third of the angels. Lucifer tried to create life. I'm not going to be able to get around to that this morning, how he did it, and show you the proof of it. But I guarantee you in the future I will. Now, this is very important, because it provides an argument to present to college professors who believe that the Bible is just pure junk and an old book that even doesn't have much historical revelation and is a myth. It is not. It is the only perfect science book ever written. And God is not responsible for the misinterpretations that we humans make. I'm capable of making misinterpretations, very capable of it. I have in the past. And I may not have all this exactly right, but I guarantee you after you see it, you'll discover it makes a lot of sense and that you don't have have to have a PhD in order to understand it. The fall of Satan and one-third of his angels. We first come across it right in the middle of a discourse about Babylon, where God suddenly starts to talk about the original creation. And he talks about Lucifer's fall. Isaiah 14:12-14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, above the angels of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Now, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Okay, Satan was created perfect. Lucifer was, who became Satan. And Satan, or Lucifer, was perfect. But there was one thing that Lucifer could not do. There were lots of things he couldn't do. But the ultimate thing that separates God from everything else, and I mean it's the one thing that completely separates God from everything else. I know he's all wise. I know he's all powerful. I know he's omnipresent. And I know that these things separate him from the rest of his creation. But there is one ultimate thing that makes God above all things. God is the creator of life. He is the originator of it. And no one gave him life. He is the giver, the creator, the generator of life. In order for Satan to become like God, he had to be able to produce life, to procreate, to originally generate life himself by his own power. He couldn't do it, but he made an effort. We'll talk about that next Sunday, Lord willing. Now notice what he says in Ezekiel 28:14-17. He says, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. God put him over all of creation. He was responsible for the earth. Which earth? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, that perfect earth. And Lucifer was placed over it. God created him perfect, and he was responsible for the maintenance of the earth and the life forms and everything else that was on it. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. He covered the creation of God. He said, and I have set thee so. God put him over it. Thou wast on the holy mountain of God. I believe that the holy mountain that is referred to is the original creation. I could be wrong. It could refer to God sitting upon the throne of all governments. But I think that the original holy mountain of God was most likely God's creation of the earth, which was unique among all the different planets. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Now notice, coming up from the holy mountain of God, thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. What are the stones of fire? The stones of fire, I believe, are what is used here to refer to the stars at night. When you look up and you see the stars, they look like stones of fire. And I believe it means that God, that Satan had the power to walk back and forth between the third heaven where God dwelled and the earth, and he was placed over the earth. Verse 15, Ezekiel 28:14-17. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the days that thou wast created. That's what made Satan separate from God. God created Satan, and Satan could not procreate life. But God procreated him. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee, the mountain of God, the earth, with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. He takes away his power and the government that he gave him, And that is why I told you earlier, the earth may not be the mountain of God. It may picture God as a governor, as of all things, sitting on a mountain. But Satan is, whatever it is, Satan is cast out of the mountain of God, out of power and control of it. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire, from the midst of the heavens, where you look up at night and see the stars, which are the stones of heaven. Now, Ezekiel 28, 14 through 17, in verse 17, he tells us what caused Satan to do this. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Apparently, he was a very beautiful creature of God. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. He had tremendous wisdom that God gave him. But because he looked upon himself as being so beautiful, and he was so bright, probably the brightest angel God created. I don't know that for sure. But he was so beautiful, it corrupted his wisdom. He said, I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, and that will happen in the end, that they may behold thee. Now I want you to notice what Jesus said about Satan, Lucifer, who became Satan, in Luke 10, 18. Now, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and was not anything created without the Word being there. And the Word was Jesus Christ. So the Son of God has been with the Father from the beginning. Now, notice what he says in Luke 10 and 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So this is something that the Son of God had seen happen in the past. And that's past tense. He beheld Satan fall from heaven, from grace. He was there with the Father when this happened. Now in Revelation 12 and 4, an allusion is made back to this as occurring in the past when he says in his tail, the dragon's tail, who is clearly identified in the 12th chapter as Satan, and Satan's tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, which the stars of heaven in this case are the angels, and one third of the angelic host that God had created chose to follow Satan rather than to remain in the realm of God's control. And they wanted to have Satan over them. And they were responsible along with Satan for the fall of creation. And did cast them to the earth. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. Revelation 12, 4. I believe that occurred between Genesis 1 and 1, 2. And I'm going to show you a lot of different proofs of it before I'm finished. It's now 10 minutes till, so I'll leave it there. But I hope you'll make a special effort to be here, because you may not agree with all parts of it, but I guarantee you it will give you a firm, complete biblical answer to what you're seeing now in all these magazines that are coming out, showing you how even the Pope now in Rome has come out in support of evolution, and a lot of the people who don't believe in God are making a heyday out of this. And quite frankly, they're leading an awful lot of people that do believe in God back into a state of unbelief. And a lot of it is because we are still believing what a man called Bishop Usher published in about 1633 in his interpretation of the Bible. Now, that's really what we're following. So I'm going to show you something that was first presented in about 1830. Long before Darwin wrote his first book on evolution. In about 1859, Darwin wrote his book. But in 1830, Dr. Thomas Chalmers, who was a saved, born-again believer and believed in security of the believer, had a doctor's degree in Bible languages from Oxford. And you don't get a Bible degree from Oxford in Bible language unless you're a super genius in the language. And he also had a doctor's degree in geology. He was a very brilliant man. He pastored, I think, a Free Wee Church in Edinburgh, Scotland. At least I know he was Scottish and pastored a Scottish church. And he's the one who first came out and showed in the Bible these languages on Tohu and Bohu. Now, the other things that I'm going to show you are based on the language itself. And I'm going to show you that Satan can actually create life and how he has progressed in his ability to do it. And I think before too much longer, he will clone, probably, a man. And I think it's going to be interesting if you watch this and then watch what happens in the future. So it is now about 7 minutes to...